Thank you so much, men. That's the message that our children heard all last week at Vacation Bible School. And I want to add my thanks, which Brother Mike has already offered, for our interim children's director, Felicia Hand, and her summer helper, Susan Hester, along with all of their volunteers for Vacation Bible School. Thank you all so much for giving us just a historic Vacation Bible School. It was a great, great week, and many wonderful decisions were made, and that's why I'm preaching today on the subject, A Day of Decision. And each and every day, our children repeated from memory Isaiah 30, verse 21. And I want us to see that verse right now. Our children learned this verse in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which is a wonderful translation of the scripture. It's probably unlike most of your translations that you read from, at least with regard to the syntax or the order of the phrases. In my comparing it to other major translations this last week, the nearest one I found to it was the New International Version as far as syntax and order of phrases. But for our purposes today, we're going to use the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And children and VBS workers, would you repeat this memory verse from VBS with me? You ready? Don't leave me hanging, all right? And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Very good. Now, I'm going to have our camera operator go back. And I want you to do it with me from memory, okay? Isaiah 30, 21. And whenever... Hey. All right, let's go back to that slide and let's all say it together, okay? Ready? And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Very good. Well, I tell you, there's some girls down here and guys that really do know that verse. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on today, is this wonderful Vacation Bible School verse and 3 points that are given to you there in your worship guide. The first thing we talk about is choices. Isn't that what that first phrase is talking about? And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, you know, life is full of choices. God has given us the dignity of decision making. Robert Frost, the poet, put it this way, I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled by, and that made all the difference. I've always believed that Frost must have taken as his inspiration for that poem the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, where our Lord said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Oh, dear friends, today, when it comes to the Lord God and our convictions regarding this book, we cannot ride the fence. You must choose for God or against Him. You cannot be neutral. Jesus Himself said, you cannot serve two masters because you're going to love one and hate the other. So we must make the choice by our own volition today to follow what Jesus has for us in our lives. Elijah the prophet put it this way on Mount Carmel. He said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Today is a day of decision, not tomorrow, not next week. We must make a choice. Moses, quoting God in Deuteronomy 30:19, said, and I quote, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. You must make a choice. You cannot be undecided. Now, we're not only given choices as individuals. That's a lot of what our children learned this week at Vacation Bible School. But we are given choices as a nation. As a matter of fact, that is the context of our scripture for this morning. I hope you have Isaiah 30 opened up, because it's very clear that God is speaking to the nation of Israel, which is made up of individuals, but he is speaking to the collective body of the nation of Israel. And you see that so clearly in verse 1 of chapter 30 in Isaiah. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Oh, mercy. What a grim proposition for any country, including our own United States of America. Skip down to verse 8 as he continues to address this wayward nation who has made poor choices. Verse 8, "Now go, write it down before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and forever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord." You know, our scripture talks about the command that we will hear behind us, and it didn't take long for Israel to remember the law and the commands that God had given her as a nation. She just could look back over her shoulder, and I think we need to hear a voice from the past is found right here in the Word of God. It's as relevant as the newspaper today. Well, go on. It's still reading in verse 10, speaking of this wayward nation, "who say to the seers, do not see." This is the people who have the spiritual gift of discernment, who say, boy, as a nation, if we keep on heading on this path, this is what the future holds for us as a collective body of people. But when we get more interested in our own ideas and our own agendas and our own ways, we could care less about what people with spiritual discernment have to say to us. But it's not just those who are discerning that they want to be quiet. Look in the middle of verse 10. "And to the prophets," the preachers in other words, "do not prophesy to us right things." We're sick and tired of hearing all this preaching about righteousness. "Speak to us smooth things." Prophecy deceits. Oh my, if that ever described a day and age in America, it describes this day in which we live. We say, "Prophets, we don't need you anymore." Especially when you start spouting off about what God demands in righteous living. You can just go over there and stand in the corner. We've got better ideas. We don't want to hear that kind of preaching anymore, but not just the prophets. Go on there in verse 11. This wayward nation says, "Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." The Holy One of Israel is God Himself. We're not only tired of the seers and their spiritual gift, we're not only tired of the preachers and the prophets and what they have to say, but we are tired of God Himself. God, get out of the way. We've got our own ideas on how our lives ought to be run. Verse 12, "Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, before you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Skip to verse 20, because God is calling a nation to repentance, a nation to make right choices. And this is what he says in verse 20. He says, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, these are the consequences of your poor choices, and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. It's not just the seers that we're saying that need to be moved into the corner. It's not just the prophets and the preachers that say, we don't want to hear you anymore. Just go over there in the corner. It's not only God that they say, we don't want you before us anymore, but it's the teachers of the scripture. We're sick and tired of hearing the same old thing about righteousness. So you teachers just go over there, stand in the corner, be mute while we go the way we want to go according to our own choices. But look at that last sentence in verse 21. But your eyes shall see your teachers. And then our verse for today, a verse that speaks about choices. And we have a choice today. I mean, there is a fork in the road ahead of us, and we can go right or we can go left, but it has consequences. And I like the voice from Family Research Council's Peter Sprague, who recently said, and I quote, marriage between one man and one woman will continue to be uniquely important to the future and health of society. We will not let a court's definition of marriage define us. And then he quotes James 4:12. For there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. And if there's any doubt in your mind about who that is, it is God Himself. So First Baptist Noonan, state of Georgia, United States, we've got a choice. God's not going to force you to take the right path. He has created you with the dignity of decision making. The choice stands before you today. But to help guide us in that choice, he speaks about commands. And that's the next phrase we see in that VBS scripture memory, where it says this: when you are choosing between going right and going left, your ears will hear this command behind you. I think there's two key words here: command and behind. When we think about that voice from the past, we think about those voices that are behind us, including the voices written in this scripture thousands of years ago, yet relevant as the newspaper today. It speaks to us from the past. It speaks to us from behind. We can hear God's voice. We can't see Him with our physical eyes, but He is speaking today. And He's not speaking about opinions and suggestions. The Holman Christian Standard says it's a command. God has given us His great and holy commandments for how we should live, and we should live by them. This verse is perfectly illustrated in the commands that a whitewater rafting guide gives his crew. Like in this picture here, these are some of our senior high guys who recently returned from their senior high choir mission trip in West Virginia. And they had a fun day where they were on the New River and tackled all kinds of dangerous rapids. But notice our guy's up in the front of the boat, but who's in the back of the boat? The guide. He is in the back of the boat, and his oar is down in the water, serving as the rudder, giving direction. And what that guide does in the back of that boat is he barks out commands to the people who are in front of him. And one of those commands our guys heard was a command like this: overwrite. And when the guide says overwrite, He means everyone on the right side of the boat needs to dig their paddles into the water and paddle as furiously as they can on the right side of the boat. But when he says over to the right, it's an instruction also to those who are on the left side of the boat to take their oars out of the water and throw their weight to the center of the boat. This could be the difference between life, serious injury, or death. Because the guide sees what's ahead. He sees the potential for the raft getting stuck on rocks and being flipped. And so he gives that command through his skill, through his concern. And what happened this last Friday was our boat flipped. Our boat flipped this last Friday. But if you've ever done any river rafting, you know that an experienced guide doesn't let that stop him. He gets his crew organized and they flip the boat back upright and go down the river again. And that's where we are today. In the United States of America, in First Baptist Noonan, our boat flipped this last Friday, but now we need to get it right. And through prayer and repentance and love and graciousness and conviction from the Word of God, go forward according to God's holy command. Now, the way that God speaks to us today is through this book right here. And we need to live our lives according to the commands that are found by our guide in this book right here. Now, another illustration is that of a quarterback. A quarterback many times will call audibles at the line of scrimmage. He'll walk up to the line of scrimmage, break the huddle, and the offensive linemen are the first to get up there at the line of scrimmage. And the quarterback, as he's walking up behind the offensive lineman, might see something in the defense that will call for an adjustment. And so he commands, he calls an audible, but here's the thing, the offensive linemen have their backs to the quarterback. They can't see the quarterback, but they can hear his commands being barked to them. They're in the trenches. They're the ones that are on the line of scrimmage trying to move the ball forward. But it's successful if they listen to the commands. And that's what doesn't happen so many times. You know, you might be asking, how do these offensive linemen who can't even see their quarterback, you can see their backs are to the quarterback, they're down in the stance, they're poised to go out on the snap, and the quarterback is barking out these commands, these audibles, how can they differentiate his voice from the voice of thousands of people in the stands that are screaming all at one time, and the defense across the line of scrimmage that is also screaming and barking their own commands? How do those linemen who can't see their quarterback differentiate their leader's voice from all the other voices? It's because they practice with him day after day. Going back to spring training, even to the previous season, if he was their quarterback in the previous season, they work with him, they play with him, and they get so accustomed to his voice through the drills that they go through with him that they know what his voice is like, and it rises above any other voice. Oh, dear Christian friends, God is our quarterback, and we are on the line of scrimmage. And he is barking commands behind us, and the crowd is competing with their voices. And you won't know the voice of God unless you spend time with him, unless you spend time in the Word of God, and unless you commune with him in fellowship and prayer. And then we'll be able to move forward for God's honor and glory as we listen to his commands from behind. You know, it's interesting that emperor penguins have an innate ability to hear each other's voices. It's distinct from others' voices. Emperor penguins are monogamous. That means they have one mate for life. A male has a female mate for life. That's the way God created them. And by the way, That's the way God created you and me. And these emperor penguins, whenever it's time to build their family, the female will lay the egg, and then something interesting happens. She leaves the egg with the male so that he can keep it warm. It's just out there in the snow, and so it stays on top of the male emperor penguin's feet so that he can keep it warm while she goes out to the ocean. And she's gone for an entire year fishing, trying to get an adequate supply of food for the new chick to last 12 months. So what happens when she comes back from her fishing expedition? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of male emperor penguins there with their little chicks waiting on mama to come home. So what does mama do? Does she walk up to the front doorstep and say, "I'm home"? No, she doesn't, because they don't even have nests, these emperor penguins. What she will do is cry out with her distinctive voice, and the male can hear her distinctive voice, and they can be drawn together in love and growing their family. It reminds me so much of what Jesus said over in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. He said, "My sheep," that's those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're in His flock. He says, "My sheep know My voice. They will not follow another. When they hear My voice, they will follow Me." Oh, God's voice is speaking to many of us today. He's speaking to us through His commands, which are behind us, written a long time ago. He's speaking to us by the Holy Spirit that's tapping us on the shoulder from behind, saying, "You need to make the right choice today. You need to make a decision for Jesus today." And that's where the commitment comes in. Look at that last phrase in the VBS memory verse. That command that comes from behind is this: "This is the way. Walk in it." This is what God is saying. He is saying, "Man, you've got a choice. I created you that way. You can go right or you can go left, but heads up, you're going to hear My voice from behind you." And it's not just My voice, it's a command. I'm going to tell you what to do. But I can say, "Man, this is the way. This is where you need to go. Walk in it." But you have the choice of putting one foot in front of another. You've got to make that commitment today. You know, there's some children that made important decisions in Vacation Bible School this week. Many of them trusted Christ to be their Savior. And this is your opportunity to come forward. I'll be waiting for you right here in front of this Lord's Supper table and to say, "You know what? I've made a choice. And I've heard God's word at Vacation Bible School all week. And now I see the way I need to go, and I'm going to walk in. I'm going to walk down this aisle today." It might be a mom, a dad, or a single adult. God's been speaking to you about a decision today, maybe to join the life of this church, maybe to be baptized. I don't know what it is, but if God is speaking to you, He gives you the choice, and He speaks to you lovingly through His commands. But now's the time for you to make the commitment by faith. He says, "This is the way. This is the aisle. These are the aisles right here. Walk in it." And you've got the choice to make that commitment today or not. You know, the book of Hebrews says that if you hear God's voice today, don't harden your hearts. Let your hearts be soft and pliable and respond to Him. You know, in a moment we're going to sing a song that I heard our children quote over and over again, not the song, but the scripture that it comes from, softly and tenderly. Jesus is speaking softly in a still small voice. And Jesus might be speaking to you in that still small voice today, saying, "Come." Maybe it's just to come and kneel here at this altar, pray for our nation. You do what God wants you to do.